Good evening. Welcome to Beijing Diary. I guess I should say good morning. It's morning where I am. I always get, you know, there's a mismatch between my blog and my podcast. And my blog is set to Pacific time because I started that before I left the United States in 2004. But my podcast is set to Shanghai time. So I guess we'll say morning, and it is morning of Friday the 13th. Where did that start? According to Wikipedia, it's from the Norse mythology. Loki was the 13th god or something like that. Anyway, I'm not sure how that went, but we live under the mercy of a sovereign god who is above all myths and ideas of that sort. Now, let's get started with our discussion of the... We're going to talk about Ukraine, but first I want to talk about... I want to talk about Ukraine because they had the Victory Day celebration. But first I want to talk about 2,000 Mules. Mel had sent me a link to it. I'd never heard of 2,000 Mules. And no idea about it. I just looked it up, and I saw some kind of a write-up about it and saying that that it was giving false positive because you could be registered as having gone to this ballot deposit box if you just drove by it. And so then I said, you know what, I gotta watch that movie. And so then I was listening to Eric Metaxas, and he was saying about, you know, how this movie is easily available, so easy to find. So, okay, I went and did a search for it and watched the film. And after I watched it, I saw another tweet that said that they gave an address. It's salemnow.com. I think that might be the main address. I watched it on some streaming service. Anyway, it's available online now. And so I watched the movie, and then I went back and read the fact check from Associated Press, which I think is probably the article I read before I watched the movie. I'm pretty sure. You know, when I read the article before I watched the movie, I thought, oh, good thing these guys are kind of pointing out the fallacies or whatever. But after I watched the film and went back and read the fact check, it is absolutely ridiculous. And so I need to talk about that. Basically, the film is about mules. The mules were people who delivered ballots to ballot collection boxes. And in most states, that's against the law. You can take ballots for your relatives, your family, but you're not allowed to deliver a bunch of ballots for other people. And where did these ballots come from? Were they made up, fake ballots? Who knows? But I just want to point out some of the fallacies of that piece. Because, you know, as I said, when I first read it without watching the film, I thought, okay, you know, they're just pointing out some discrepancies. But after I watched the film and read it, I'm convinced now that the person who wrote it, her name is Ali. Is it Ollie Swenson? And let me get the name here. I think it's Ollie Swenson, if I remember correctly. Ollie Swenson, yeah. Ollie Swenson, I'm convinced now, having watched the film and read the fact check, that she never saw the film. Because she says some things in here that are really, really outlandish if you actually watch the movie. So let me read a couple examples of things that she says about this. Now, here's the claim. But experts say cell phone location data, even at its most advanced, can only reliably track a smartphone within a few meters, not close enough to know whether someone actually dropped off a ballot or just walked or drove nearby. See, when I read that before I watched the film, I said, oh, that makes sense. But a few meters is 9 feet, you know, that's not very far. Now, here's a quote. You could use cellular evidence to say this person was in that area, but not to say they were at a ballot box. But to say they were at a ballot box, you're stretching it a lot, said Aaron Stregel, a professor of computer science and engineering at the University of Notre Dame. There's always a pretty healthy amount of uncertainty that comes with this. Well, uncertainty to what degree? You know, 3 meters is 9 feet. And if you watch the film, and I'm convinced now that Ali Swenson, the person who wrote this fact check, didn't watch the film, because it shows very clearly this colored line. I think it's a blue line. It doesn't matter. But anyway, going along the road, this line's going along the road, and then it stops. It makes a 90-degree left turn, goes up to the box, comes back, and proceeds along the road. This is not just cars driving somewhere in the vicinity. So I can't believe she would, you know, I mean, that this doesn't jive with what's in the film. You watch the film, you'll see that. Now, here's another thing. This one is actually quite amusing. Claim, alleged ballot harvesters were captured on surveillance video wearing gloves because they didn't want to leave their fingerprints on the ballots. The facts. This is pure speculation. It ignores far more likely reasons for glove wearing in the fall and winter of 2020. Cold weather or COVID-19. Cold weather or COVID-19. So wearing gloves because of COVID-19. Now, you know, I don't live in the United States, and I haven't been. My last trip to the States was in 2019. So I haven't been in America during COVID. And if you say to me, Eric, you know, that's really the way it is. You know, everybody wears rubber gloves now because of COVID-19. Go to the store, and they're all wearing rubber gloves. You see people riding down the street on their bicycles wearing rubber gloves. And, you know, we try to buy rubber gloves, you can't get them because everyone's wearing rubber gloves. If you said that to me, I'd say, well, then can you explain why as soon as those ballots are out of their hands and into the deposit box, they rip the gloves off and throw them in the nearest trash can? Now, about the cold, let me read this to you. Voting in Georgia's January 5th, 2021, this is Ali Swenson again writing for Associated Press, which used to be a respected news agency. Voting in Georgia's January 5th, 2021 Senate runoff election occurred during some of the coldest weeks of the year in the state when COVID-19 was surging. So she's saying they wore the gloves because of the cold or because of COVID. Well, again, I don't think she watched the film. You know what I think happened? I think she heard somebody say, you know, Ali, watch that movie, and they actually show them wearing gloves. And she got a picture in her mind of them wearing warm winter gloves, and she thought she could explain that away. People don't wear rubber gloves to protect them from the cold. And if they did, why would they rip them off as soon as they got the ballots out of their hands? Clearly, they were wearing rubber gloves because they didn't want their fingerprints on those ballot envelopes. Now, if she had watched the film, if she had actually watched the film, she'd say, ooh, rubber gloves. I better drop that thing about the cold weather. I don't think she saw the film. I think she wrote a fact check without watching it. Now, then she says, in a similarly speculative allegation, the film claims its supposed mules took photographs of ballots before they dropped them into drop boxes in order to get paid. But across the U.S., voters frequently take photos of their ballots envelopes before submitting them. No, they wouldn't take pictures of the envelopes to get paid. How would that say anything? You see in the movie, you see them get down underneath and actually taking a picture of the ballot box. It looks to me like they're taking a picture of something on the ballot box. I can't see what it is. You know, if you're going to get paid for going to a ballot box, you can't take a picture of the ballot. They're not going to pay you for that. They're not going to pay you for having the ballot in your hand. They're going to pay you after you prove that you actually went to that ballot box. They're taking pictures of the ballot. When people are voting, they don't take pictures of the ballot box. They may take pictures of their ballot, but they don't take pictures of their ballot box. She didn't watch the film. I'm almost positive. I don't see how she could have made these outlandish statements if she had seen it. So this is the Associated Press writing a fact check about a film they didn't even bother to watch. That's a really, really distressing thing to me. No, absolute new conscience. How do people do this? You know, the Bible says, there. Let me read this to you. Because this scripture is really apropos. In 1 Timothy 4:2 says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience has been so burned that they don't feel guilty when they lie. When Ollie Swenson goes to bed at night, she doesn't feel a tinge of guilt over this nonsense that she's perpetrating. Now you know, you read the article without watching the movie, and it sounds sensible. But watch the film and then read that Associated Press fact check. It's a real disappointment to me. You know, the Associated Press used to be a respected news agency, and I mentioned Washington Post and CNN, and this is another one now. What they're doing is, now there's some of them just setting up phony propaganda outfits that are new, like PolitiFact. It's a propaganda. Actually, sort of a news agency, but it claims to be a fact checker, but it's such a propaganda entity. But these ones are what these guys are doing is buying up these old respected institutions and then using them to perpetrate a falsehood and propaganda. These people are not journalists. Now, why would a journalist do something like this? She's not a journalist. She's a propagandist. Their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. Okay, guys, we got to take a news break. But don't go away. There'll be lots more when we get back. We're going to talk about Ukraine and Victory Day. So don't touch that dial. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Hello and a very warm welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. I'm Anna Holligan coming to you live from London, and we start the programme in Red Square and Russia's Victory Day celebrations.
Поздравляю вас с 77-й годовщиной победы в Великой Отечественной войне!
An officer congratulated troops on the 77th anniversary of victory in World War II, or what Russia calls the Great Patriotic War. On a day traditionally dedicated to past shared military sacrifices, the focus this year was on the Kremlin's singular narrative about the war it's currently waging in Ukraine. Military hardware, including long-range nuclear weapons, were paraded through Red Square, and President Putin gave a speech in which he insisted that the invasion was defensive and a reaction to NATO aggression.
We saw how they started to develop military infrastructure, how they began to bring in hundreds of foreign advisers, send constant supplies of the most modern military equipment from NATO countries. The danger was growing every day, and Russia gave a preemptive rebuff to the aggression. It was necessary, timely, and the only right decision. The decision of a sovereign, strong, independent country.
In a real contrast to the optics of a crowded Red Square, the Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky had earlier posted a video of himself walking alone down the main shopping street in Kyiv. He accused his Russian counterpart of distorting history.
Today, we celebrate Victory Day over Nazism, and we will not give anyone a single piece of our history. We are proud of our ancestors who, together with other nations in the anti-Hitler coalition, defeated Nazism, and we will not allow anyone to annex this victory. We will not allow it to be appropriated.
Can you believe that? Long-range nuclear weapons displayed in Red Square. Man. Now, so here's the thing. They have a National Victory Day, right? This is a celebration of the commemorating victory over the Nazis. And now, everybody was speculating if he was going to try to claim victory in Ukraine, but he didn't do that. And he couldn't do that because they were having a pretty rough time. But the thing is that Russia has become what they're celebrating having victory over. It's now Ukraine fighting the Russians, who are doing what the Nazis were doing, that the Russians are claiming the Ukrainians are doing. You know, the Russian soldiers went into Ukraine being told that they'd be welcomed, delivering, you know, as I said, let me read the text to you again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and I'm gonna read verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They are under the influence of lying spirits. This just pure deception. Talking about the denazification of Ukraine. But what I want to talk about, and what I mentioned last time, and it concerns me, is the idea in America that somehow Ukraine is not entitled to nationhood. And I put this meme with Steve Bannon. I saw it the other day. Let me just read it to you, but I'll post it on my Twitter feed and also try to put it in the details for the podcast. Steve Bannon today: Ukraine's not even a country. It's a kind of concept. It's not even a country. It's just a corrupt area that the Clintons turn into a colony where they can steal money out of. It's not even a country, dot, dot. It's just a corrupt area. Well, I listened to the video version, and that dot, dot, he's saying, talking about national sovereignty, you know. In other words, Ukraine's not entitled to national sovereignty. We don't talk about their national sovereignty. They're not entitled to it. Where is this coming from? And it's coming from the right, not from the left. So it's a frustrating world we live in. We see, you know, the 2,000 mules, the corrupt election, and yet, you know, you think, well, how could that happen? But if it hadn't happened, you know, you almost wonder what kind of trouble Ukraine would be in if the people who don't think Ukraine has a right to exist were in power. Now, in fairness to Trump, I think, although I don't think he would be inclined to help Ukraine, he would probably be a lot better at keeping the thing from happening in the first place. He supposedly told Putin, if you attack Ukraine, we'll nuke Moscow. And as you heard, I mean, you may have heard, I heard it myself, I heard Biden basically inviting them to invade. You know, Russia invades, you know, we'll take action. Well, I mean, if it depends on what it is. If it's just a little incursion, you know, a small invasion we can handle. Basically inviting them to invade. What a world we live in. But the watch 2,000 mules and see what you think. Now, does it prove that Trump should actually be president? Well, I don't think you can prove that yet with that film. But it does show, if you've watched that movie and you don't see organized crime, you're really not paying attention. So what I've often said about the 2020 election, it's like Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart. You know, it doesn't go away. It keeps beating and beating and beating. Stolen election, stolen election, stolen election, stolen election. The truth will come to light. So just be patient. But we need to pray for Ukraine and really take a strong stand. This is what really, I'm concerned about what Russia's doing, but I'm also troubled by the response on the right in America. This weak need response. Ukraine is a sovereign nation. Is there corruption in Ukraine? Yes. Is there corruption in Russia? Yes. Is there corruption in America? You better believe it. If you don't believe it, watch that movie. But does that mean we deny a nation their sovereignty? You know, the Palestinians deny the sovereignty of Israel. How are we any better than that if we deny the sovereignty of Ukraine? This is a really, really a distressing thing to see. So on the right, you have these. Now, I want to mention a name, though. I'm going to give credit to Mark Levine. I don't know him a lot. I haven't listened to him that much. But he really, really criticized very strongly this idea of kissing up to Putin and talking as if he's a victim of Ukraine. So there are voices like that that are speaking out, but a lot of what I see coming from the right is very disappointing. And then in the media, you have this phenomenon where they're buying up these respected names and using them to perpetrate falsehood, actually fact-checking a film without even bothering to watch it. There is no way she could have written that article the way she did if she had watched that film. I remember when I was a kid, as I mentioned in my blog post on shortwave radio, you know, I'd get up in the morning and I'd turn on my shortwave radio and serving American forces overseas, this is the Far East Network. And then I'd listen to the news, you know, and they'd say, from the wires of the Associated Press and the United Press International. I mean, Associated Press, it was a term of respect, authority, someone you could count on to bring you the truth from faraway places. And now that name has been brought into disrepute by unprincipled propagandists like Ollie Swenson. Well, gotta go, you guys. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time. This podcast is hosted online at beijingdiary.podbean.com. That's beijingdiary.podbean.com.